numbers for that. Okay, so this is actually pretty simple, just kind of some housekeeping. We need two things. One, we need you guys to approve a permit through Southern Oregon University. They're going to be doing the archaeological study on the runway extension area for the environmental assessment. And so we need to get that approved so that they can move forward with that. The other thing that came up with that is that we realized we have not done a power of attorney yet for the runway extension, so we're going to do that at the same time. So it's all stuff, just housekeeping stuff that needs to be finished up. So, any questions on any of them in particular?
Senator Fowler, you got any questions? Sorry, Commissioner.
Please, don't elevate me to that yet, ever, actually. No, I don't have much except that these do seem like building blocks towards where we're headed. So it's not a big surprise or a controversy.
Okay, well, could I get a motion for 1A?
You bet. I'll make a motion for item 1A, the airport runway extension.
And it's also the limited power of attorney.
Item two, which is the limited power of attorney for these are both for the runway extension project. So I'll make that motion.
Thank you. I'll second it. Wendy, could you please call the roll?
Commissioner Fowler?
Yes.
Commissioner Barrett-Trigger?
Yes. Okay, moving on. Jason, you got anything else before we move on?
No, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. 1B. So Rob, this is your wheelhouse.
Morning, can you hear me? I'm having my having some hiccups here with the there, it looks like you got on. Morning.
Yep, we can hear
you. Okay, so a small chunk of right away for the Beacon Drive improvements for the sidewalk, and I apologize, do you guys have the map in your packet?
Yeah, let me see if there's a map in there.
There should be listed as Exhibit B, kind of showing it along the west side of Beacon and Churchill.
No map.
No map? Okay. Let me see if I can't get it pulled up. Yes, I can. Do I have the ability to screen share at this point, Wendy?
I'm sure, yeah.
Good. Okay. Here it is.
Oh, that's National Forest.
There we go. So this is for the Beacon multimodal project. We've got hopefully starting soon. I guess to give you the full backstory, the city's putting in the water line, which was waylaid by an unmarked fiber line. So they got that dialed in about 2 days ago. And actually, us in the city are going back with the locate companies to say how it was dismissed for the last couple of years, but. Never mind, it's been hung up on the pole, so the city will be charging in on the water line, and then we will be on the back of them as quickly as possible. So for the sidewalk project, as all roads that are about 100 years old, the right-of-way goes in and out at times. This particular section, it was narrower than the rest, so we have worked to acquire the strip you see there. It also gives us a better radius going down Churchill, which will ultimately have ADA ramps. And the city, I believe, is actually putting in sidewalk there soon as well for the Lincoln Elementary, St. Frost School. So effectively, this lot will be wrapped with sidewalk the entire way in the near future. We're going to have a second lot that will come up in the next couple weeks as well, further north from the project. But this is the one. I just wanted to keep this one moving today. The price there of $82.9603. Is just a proration of what the assessor says that land is worth per square foot, and we just prorate then and pay that amount. And these folks were extremely easy to work with, and everybody is in agreement that it's a fair value and a good project to proceed with.
Okay, yeah, that's I really don't have any questions on it.
I'm just amazed that you can find 10 feet on the side of Beacon Road. So
right.
When you found it, you took it, and you get a sidewalk to the city gets a sidewalk. This is a great deal.
Doesn't go from anybody's backyard, right?
Right, exactly. That's a tough road. That just a tough road.
Hey, Rob, where's this money come from?
It'd just be out of our standard, you know, gas tax funding that we receive through the state highway fund.
Perfect, thank you.
And technically, it's been transferred to property reserve once in there, but yeah, the origination was gas tax.
All right, with no further questions, I'll entertain a motion.
Well, first, let me thank Rob for standing in for Neil. Appreciate that.
I was gonna be here anyway, I said, I'll save you a meeting, man.
I love it. Okay, well, I will make the motion to approve the right-of-way acquisition for Beacon Drive Improvement Project.
And I'll second it. Wendy, could you please call the roll?
Commissioner Fowler?
Yes.
Commissioner Bearchicker?
Yes. Okay, so that passed unanimously. Moving on to number two, and I think we're still in Rob's wheelhouse.
So the next one in front of you is the Cooperative Forest Road Agreement, as it's called. And this is an agreement we have with the Forest Service dating back, the original was 1974. They've got them a similar agreement with Curry and other counties kind of in Southwest Oregon. And what these are is roads that were historically logging roads, but over time ended up having some residences on them and some non-forest related traffic. So we maintain them for the Forest Service on a day-to-day basis. And what's kind of triggered this one is when they have a bigger project, in this case, it's re-chip sealing on Happy Camp Road. There was a little fire out there, as you may have heard, last year. We have to have a separate agreement to basically they will pay us for that chip seal work because it's considered kind of above and beyond standard maintenance. So the one you have in front of you, I think we're gonna end up revising again in probably 6 months. We've got some additional things we'd like to get added in there in terms of responsibility and change some of the mileages, but the Forest Service said that they needed an updated one in place just to allocate this money for Happy Camp next year, if that makes sense. So they wanted to update it. We will they'll get the money allocated for Happy Camp, and I suspect you'll see me next spring to revise this one in front of you again. What we're gonna look to do with the new agreement is to pull our maintenance back to the last residents on each of these roads. It's like that in most places now, but there are some situations where we're maintaining, say, a half mile beyond the last house, and our argument's gonna be, that's not our problem at that point. That is the Forest Service's problem to maintain that last mile of road.
So, Rob, on the Happy Camp Road, does that start at Four Corners and just go to the state line?
Correct. That's our maintenance section that is under this agreement. We've got some obviously back beyond Four Corners, but that's what this agreement covers, and that's a perfect example. So this agreement, under this would say, hey, it's our responsibility from Four Corners up. I'm going to come back in the spring and say, no, our responsibility is from Four Corners to that last residence at mile 25, 26, from there up to the border.
That's a lot of road.
Yep. But really, at this point, all it's serving is the occasional logging interest and some folks coming over. So, I know the Forest Service is tight for money, too, but so are we, and I can't make the argument that we should maintain the road for them.
Rob, are we responsible for all those dead trees along that road? Would we be responsible for those hazards if we took that section?
That's where it gets, it's kind of a, we talk to them and say, hey, does this feel like a full-blown project? If it's a stray snag or two, we'd probably go deal with it. If it's a, hey, the whole road just slid down on this side, Forest Service, we need to have an agreement as to what this project costs before we fix it for you.
Well, I've done a lot of work up in that country, and I think that's a wise move to eliminate that road. There's so many, now that there's fire and all the hazards and mudslides and everything, I think it's going to be extremely problematic for the next 20 years, to be honest with you.
That's our concern, yeah. If we can do the chip seal, that part may work all fine, but in a super wet winter, you may see all kinds of sloughing, and, it's tough to have demarcation out. There's no visuals. You get 2 feet of snow up there, it's going to be tough to see where the side of the road is. So, yeah, we've got a lot of concern for that road going forward. And then there's a couple others where, again, we'll just say, this last half mile beyond that last residence, Forest Service, that's not serving any of our interests. If you guys want to maintain that road, you maintain it.
Questions, Commissioner Fowler?
Yeah, just to back up to a 30,000 foot view, when do you think this road will be open? Is there any indicators when?
Right. I think that if I heard correctly, they put the timber sale out again and it did sell, but I don't know what they have for a performance timeline on getting those log decks out of there. Initially, they wanted to potentially chip seal it sooner than that. I said, no, don't chip seal and then have this whole sale dragged out of there. You'll ruin it. So our hope is we'll be chip sealing for them next year and go from there. So they've got, you know.
And the best case scenario would be when we chip seal it, it would be open after that.
Correct. It can be open once the logs are out of the way. It'll just be pretty bumpy, I'm guessing.
Okay. Thanks for that.
And then on the, I guess the other piece to follow up with that. So what I've talked with legal is, and their interpretation was, the board will need to sign what you got in front of you. But when it comes time for that Happy Camp agreement, that would be something that I could sign as a department, because effectively there's no money changing hands. We just bill them actual cost of the project. So there's no net gain or loss to the county.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate that, and I think that's a wise move. That, like I said, I used to plow that road. I did a lot of work up there at the snow park and everything, and that's not really a great road.
No, sorry. No, it's a tough plow. We only put our best two or three operators on it, because you make a mistake up there, and it's an expensive or dangerous one.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I guess we'll move this to the Wednesday business session. Thanks, Rob.
You want to see me there on Wednesday?
No, but I would get your Zoom thing ready.
Okay, ready.
I'm trying to push for you guys this mundane business and stuff. I don't think there's any reason for you to leave the office and come down here. We can ask you questions just as much over Zoom as we can in person.
Very true. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, moving on to item C. JJ, this is your wheelhouse.
Morning, Commissioner. So I have a couple things for you. The first one is a request for a position addition in the Parks Department. And to be honest, with the challenges of getting temp staff, Parks is drowning for staff. They're desperate in need for another position. They have the budget to do it. They've had a 20% increase in revenue. And so it's within their budget, within their revenue to afford this extra position, although it's not in their current budget. So we'd like to add a senior park ranger. We will if it's approved, we'll do some internal promotions. So the actual cost will be about $70,000, including benefits and everything.
Okay. Yeah. And I've talked to Sarah, but Sarah, now you can explain to Commissioner Fowler why you need this position. I already know, but go ahead, make your case.
Oh, what did my camera do? Well, can you guys hear me? Because my camera is all wonky.
Yes, I
can. Go ahead, just talk. We'll look at the
screen. All right, we'll do that then. I switched to my laptop this week and I thought I worked that bug out. So, just like JJ said, it is extremely difficult to get the summer help. We've had 5 openings all summer and unable to fill them. And so we've essentially done no projects. The full-time rangers have been doing general maintenance, including cutting logs and changing trash. And as our department continues to grow, we see a lot more use. We have a 24% increase just in camping alone from the start of COVID. And so a full-time position is not a temporary solution. It's a way of the future, and I'll probably be bringing in another full-time employee within a year's time, as long as the trends continue and the revenue continues to come in from camping nights.
Great.
Thank you for that.
Commissioner Fowler, any questions?
No, I have full faith and trust in our director there at Parks, and so when she says she needs something, I say yes.
Okay, and there will be a supplemental budget, you know, down the road that will encompass this. Okay, JJ, go on to number 2. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, so I actually sent the wrong name to Wendy, so it's actually not community development, it's community corrections. So community corrections is requesting 3 new positions, 2 parole officers, and a department specialist. So they ended up getting more revenue in their biennial budget from the state, and they got extra revenue from a Senate bill that gives them funding to supervise sexual assault victims, offenders. So that will, all those positions are afforded in extra revenue. So when we set our budget, we don't know what the state's gonna do, because their budget cycle isn't on the same timeline as when we do our budget. So we set the initial budget based on what we thought it was going to be, and at the time we were actually expecting substantive cuts in state funding. And as you all know, the state had surplus instead of cutting. And so based on that, Community Corrections has allocated more money than we initially budgeted.
Yeah, I just don't know how long that's going to go, and I don't know how we're going to the state budget, the federal funds is 52% higher than the last biennium. The state's budget went from $74 billion to $113 billion. So, but it's all federal money. It's all been printed on Constitutional Avenue in Washington, D.C. And the only thing, JJ, that we have to be on guard is what's going to happen in 3 years. What's going to happen in 4 years. So as long as everybody's thinking along those lines, I'm fine. But this isn't going to go on forever with this cash injection to the state.
Okay? And the community corrections is a state funded program. However, it is on a biennial budget. And ultimately, if in a couple of years the state says, we're going to substantially reduce your budget, then we'll cut positions. I know Nate's extremely fiscally savvy. He's probably the best department manager we have as it relates to finding ways to get grants and get money. And so I did check with our finance director to make sure that the funds are there, and they are.
Okay.
And with the caveat, we all know in 3 years that may not be the case, but for the next 2 years it is.
Commissioner Fallon?
Yeah, I agree that this director is just like the one I just mentioned. I have full faith and confidence, and we are going to have a little bubble of care needed as this COVID thing changes and morphs. There's a lot of issues that they could deal with, and so it's kind of nice to have a little bubble to go with the bubble, and then if it goes back down, thank God at the end. And so, like I said, full faith that this director will be able to manage this bubble, so to speak. Thank you.
Okay, so we don't need emotions on any of this. As long as we're in agreement, we can move forward.
Yep,
so
I agree on both. We can either move it for official approval, because it isn't budgeted, so it does need board approval. So we can either approve it today, or you can move it to next Wednesday.
Then I can make a motion, unless we want to move it forward to Wednesday.
Well, no, go ahead, make a motion, and I'll entertain a motion to approve C1 and C2.
Okay, I will make that motion, sir.
Okay, I'll second it. Wendy, could you please call the roll?
Commissioner Feller?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bearchigger?
Yes. Okay. The motion passed. JJ, and Sarah, you guys, there you go. Marching orders. I don't know if they're orders. Marching approvals.
Approvals.
Okay. Number two, other business. Emily, you want to talk to us about a route declaration?
Yes, gentlemen, Director Ring here with Emergency Management for Josephine County. You may recall in June, Regional and County Water Masters came to the Board of Commissioners to present on drought conditions, and there was a decline to pursue a declaration at that time. So the reason that I am bringing a revised version forward for your consideration today is because both myself and the local and county water master have been contacted by a couple of residents who want to utilize the tools that a drought declaration would provide. So I hope, yeah, go ahead.
What are those? What does this mean?
Correct. I was hoping that you had received a cover letter that I provided with explanation as well as the draft resolution, but I'll summarize it if you did not. The purpose for the drought declaration is not, you don't have to believe that a drought is happening. You don't have to be personally impacted by it. You're simply passing this tool up for consideration and allowance at the state level for local folks to utilize. Usually those are farmers, irrigators, or livestock operators. The tools that they can get under this declaration include temporary emergency water use permits, temporary transfers of permits, temporary in-stream leases, temporary substitutions of leases, temporary exchanges of water between legal water right users, temporary consumption or stock water use consumption allowances. So those are the types of allowances or applications that can be made. You can only be a successful applicant under a drought declaration like this if you have an existing legal water right and the water master works with you to make sure that your use is acceptable and it is tracked and cataloged. This drought resolution, if you approve it, would go up to the Drought Readiness Council. They review it up at the state with the Oregon Water Resources Department, and then they make a recommendation to the governor's office to sign or accept it. It becomes viable when it's signed and it is set to expire on December 31st.
Okay, where's the definition of drought in this document? I'm looking at it and I've read it twice.
Sure, so midway down, declaration criteria, drought by Oregon statute defined as severe and continuing. So there's more declaration criteria for drought information, and I gave the references if you want to dig deeper. But essentially, right now, Josephine County is at severe, or DC, which is severe and continuing drought level, and that's through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. If you go on the second back page of that cover letter, there's some additional references you can look at, the state drought page, and the current drought status page for Oregon.
I was just wondering in that definition if we could put in there all of the illegal takings of water in Josephine County too.
I don't know. I would have to talk to the Oregon Water Resources Department. That's not the criteria that they use and was not the criteria that we were cataloged for. We basically essentially were put in drought conditions early on in the year, well before any of those issues were brought up. And it's part of a multi-year ongoing status. So, I mean, I can ask them. I don't know.
I would like you to ask them. I would like, because I don't think people realize the magnitude of illegal water taking in Josephine County right now. It's absolutely astonishing.
Sure, and we understand that that's an issue. We can look at that. That's really more of a proclamation or statement of an issue. This drought declaration, its only purpose is to provide access to tools. It basically is a key that unlocks access to some Oregon Water Rights Division tools for local legal water rights holders. It doesn't, you can make that statement, but it will carry no action for the purpose of this resolution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I'd still ask.
Understood.
Might catch somebody's attention.
Right. So my question is, if you're a legal marijuana grower registered with the state of Oregon and you're having trouble getting water from your normal source, you can start using your well if you had the right application under this drought declaration. But if you are an illegal marijuana grower, this in no way empowers you to take any water from anyone. Is that about right?
I can't speak to the type of crop and what crops would be considered eligible or not eligible. I don't know how that works. I think we know that this tool is only applicable to those who can prove and provide legal water rights, and they are documented and tracked. So it doesn't give any tools or access to folks who do not have that sort of documentation or standing. Oregon Water Rights Department. I'm happy to take any questions you have and pass them along to the Water Master, who would probably be the best local expert for you. We can do that if you would like to have some questions answered before you make a consideration.
And if we move it forward to next Wednesday's business session, would that give you enough time to ask and answer some of those questions so we could discuss it on Wednesday?
It should. I will call him. If I know what your questions are, I will call him today.
Okay.
So the state can't step on us and declare a drought emergency in our county. We have to ask for it and then they approve it? Or have they already declared us a drought area?
You can do it both ways.
Correct.
Usually the state declares by region and commissioners declare by county.
Okay.
So there's a couple different routes. Usually when you get to extreme, which thankfully we're not currently in extreme or D3 level, then that can be designated at the state or federal level, regardless of county action or inaction, but we're not in extreme.
Okay, thanks for that. Well, I'm willing to move it forward Wednesday if you are, Mr. Vice Chair.
Yep, let's go ahead and move it to Wednesday. But I want that answer on the illegal water table, because it makes it worse, is what's happening, is the reason I want that. So.
Okay, and I may, I'm going to do my best to summarize what I think your question is, but can you reformulate your question? It sounds almost like you had two questions. One was specifically about legal versus illegal marijuana users, and the other one was a request.
Nothing about marijuana users. I just want in there that one of the definitions why we're in a drought is because of illegal water taking throughout this community.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, and was there anything else in there that you want me to ask?
No, I had the question about marijuana, and I don't need any other answer.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks,
Emily. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, number three, Commissioner Fowler.
Yes, this is the Destination Marketing Organization Intergovernmental Agreement with the City of Grants Pass. We provided $30,000 for startup money to initiate and form the 501c6 that is that DMO. And this one today is $50,000 a year in ongoing support, and a separate intergovernmental agreement that will go to that destination marketing organization, which the city is going to put in over $600,000, and we're adding this $50,000 on top of that. And for the first couple of years, we can pay it out of COVID funds for economic development, or pay it out of our economic development fund and backfill that fund from COVID. And after that, hopefully we'll have some lodging tax in place or some other revenue to replace that. We'll have to have that discussion in a couple of years.
What's the term of this agreement?
I'm not sure, actually. I think it was 5-year, but I did not look if it had a term on it.
Okay. We got to move it. Let's get that answer, but let's also move it to Wednesday. And if it's a horrible answer, we can withdraw it.
Right.
But I still think we ought to move it to Wednesday.
Okay. I'm all for that.
Okay. All right.
It says it'll automatically renew unlimited for 1-year increments unless one party notifies the other of termination at least 30 days. So it's an unlimited, but a 30-day out.
Okay. So it has an exit. All right, let's move it to Wednesday.
Sounds good, sir.
Yep. Well, let's see. Anything else, Commissioner Howard?
Not under board business, but under matters from commissioners. I just wanted to kind of apologize to the public. If our meeting schedule and location has been a little confusing this week, that's because last Thursday we put it in the chair's lap, so to speak, Chairman Dan DeYoung, to schedule our meetings where and when. It turned out Dan was feeling under the weather this week and was not here to make those decisions, and so some of those decisions were last minute. And I just wanted to make sure people know we're recording all these, whether it's audio only or video and audio, and we will settle in over the next week or so to how these meetings are going to go. We just wanted to have all three commissioners in the room to do that. And so, and as I've said in other meetings, in case there's folks in this meeting that weren't in others, by some miracle, we haven't had our fire yet in Josephine County. And the ones we have had are going to put out quickly. And so I just want to implore everyone to continue being careful, conscious, and aware of what's going on, because we don't need to start our own fire. So that we're getting to the driest part of the summer. Let's be as safe as possible, please. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Okay. Since there's no other business, I think we'll adjourn this meeting at 9:31.
Good, sir.